The Prime Minister John Howard bans ABC.
And I find it hard to believe we'll work in the future.
Prime Minister destroyed squeeze ABC. Destroyed ABC. The Prime Minister John Howard
dumped
ABC News.
Democrats have defeated Joe Lieberman. Their choice instead is a candidate whose explicit goal is to give up the fight against the terrorists in Iraq. What these Democrats are pushing now is the very kind of retreat that has been tried in the past.
Won't you please surrender to me?
Never mind that.
Please surrender.
That I came out without some psychological effects. Some of them I'm still working through, even after 50 years or less or more. So one of the things I say, and it's not only addressing you people here today, but I'm addressing those men in that barracks there who are about to go on the battlefields and have their limbs blown off and their brains embroider their comrades' uniforms. I've had that experience. It's not only an experience. You think that when you see what goes on a battlefield on television, as you can do that now, you don't really know what it's like to be on a battlefield, because you can't smell all the rotting corpses and you can't see all the maggots that are feeding and coming out of their eye sockets and all that kind of thing. You don't see that. And the smell of all the chemicals that they use, all the explosives that permeate the whole atmosphere. And I tell you what, any man who's had that experience knows that war is no answer to any damn thing. It's never answered anything in the whole history of the human race. And it's a con job.
Yes.
And we've been conned right down through the ages, through the entities that rule this planet. And they use us to forward their own agendas, and they use warfare and division against one another for that purpose. I sat in the middle of no man's land, and I worked that all out when I was sitting in the bottom of a foxhole in mud, cold, wet, and hungry. And I thought, what the hell are all these men, myself among them, doing here, running around, destroying the environment, the built environment, the natural environment, looking around and seeing a landscape that looked like the moon. Shattered trees and buildings everywhere, and men running around with guns in their hands and artillery shells going right and left and mortar bombs dropping everywhere, machine gun bullets everywhere, and thinking to myself, well, I grew up during the period between the two wars when poverty was everywhere. My father was a World War I veteran, came back from that war and said that he'd gone to war to save the world for democracy and to create a world fit for heroes to live in. And he came back to unemployment. Yeah. There was no job for anyone between the two wars I grew up in that until World War II was about to begin. And then, strangely enough, all of a sudden there's work. Everyone gets a job in a munitions factory. That's too old to go in the army. And then the war breaks out and all the young men go off to war. And I was one of those. And in that experience, I said to myself, well, during all of my youth, all my growing up, I lived in poverty because this world fit for heroes to live in never matured, never materialized. And so here am I now, sitting in the middle of no man's land in a foxhole, and having shells and water bombs rain on me, not daring to put my head up above the parapet in case I've got it blown off, and thinking to myself, well, I'm among these people, all these guys running around with guns and uniforms. And they're not doing any damn thing. They're not doing anything creative. All they're doing is destroying. And where's where are all the resources coming from for all the bombs and shells that are being rained on us? Well, obviously the resources and the money was there for that.
Yeah, that's right.
So one of the conclusions that came out of that, and which motivates me now to this very day, is that what war is about power and profit.
Yeah.
So,
you won't give my name, will you?
No, I'm recording it already. I'm speaking here with the author of the unauthorized biography of Bin Laden's latest edition called An Explosive Life. Sir, can you explain to us, to my listeners, how you got involved in writing the autobiography of this man?
This wonderful man made himself available because I had been studying the Quran. I'd lost my copy, and apparently one of his henchmen picked up this copy and had my name in it. And where I had my little bookmark was a very relevant piece on how we are to protect our religion.
All right.
So he said he'd like to meet me. Finally, I said, well, look, the best thing we can do, Mr. Bin Laden, I had to call him Mr., of course, or Sheikh, is to, write it all up as a, like a biography of your life, so that people will understand just where you're coming from and how you managed to, that incredible thing you did in with those towers.
I was going to ask you, this book is very interesting. I read it, and it's interesting to notice a transformation from young Bin Laden as a hopeful of the Arabic world, educated.
He was right into money and all that.
Then turning to extremism.
Well, he turned to extremism.
And also to extreme environments, somewhere hidden in northern Afghanistan, Pakistan, somewhere up there.
Well, he'd made, he was a very wealthy man.
John knows where he is.
Well, of course we know where he is. Now, we don't give any clue as to where
he is. You were foreshadowing at the end of the book that Bin Laden is now a bit disillusioned about his old movement, that bombs don't go off anymore in Glasgow and in London lately, and last year's, a few months ago, the abduction of 15 or 18 British soldiers by Iranians didn't yield much.
No.
It didn't really cut into the
What he had narrative to say about that was that the training now is not what it used to be.
Right.
They
lost some explosive experts, I heard.
The experts who had all that knowledge, the knowledge went with them when they were blown up by the very difficult now, and they've got to start from scratch.
They're recruiting doctors out of hospitals to do this now.
Yes, well, that's one of the things.
Doesn't he know that a doctor knows very well about medicine, but very little about explosives and how to set them off?
It depends what sort of a doctor you are. You can be an explosive doctor, or you can be a retiring type of doctor.
So, concluding in this whole venture you did with the autobiography, would you be able to... Is it right to say Bin Laden is sort of seeing the end of his days and has suffers some disillusionment with his movement, and that's why these things go all awry lately here in the world?
Well, he's very disillusioned with the fact that they hadn't protected all that knowledge, you see. They still should have it. They had a wealth of knowledge about how to... Well, look what they did. I mean, obviously, they were...
Going up in smoke.
Yeah, they were highly skilled. And now, of course, he is rather frustrated that he's lost that edge that he had.
Hasn't anybody taught them how to turn a fire hydrant around towards some target and then turn it on? That's sort of civilian warfare from the past, quite successful, in Paris riots and other means of civilian uprisings,
Yes.
Why do they do these sort of things, parking one old car full of petrol and then don't even, aren't capable of actually igniting it? This is just sort of ideology media stunt. Is it a pre-arranged with the BBC or something?
Well, of course, you have to keep the public on their toes.
Gordon Brown came just in as Prime Minister.
Yes. So,
he needed it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to secure his position as Prime Minister, and to do that...
Well, he has it now.
Yes, he has. But he has to secure it into the future because there's going to be an election. And that election will depend on just how frightened people are and who gets in.
This election campaign will be one with petrol and old cars. parked in locations.
You'll hear more and more of that. Yes, Bin Laden has it all worked out. Don't you worry. He knows what
Gordon
they're doing.
Brown has worked it out.
In fact, he's working in with some of Gordon Brown's men.
Are they telling how to do it?
Yes, how not to do it.
And what's coming up in the campaign soon?
It does.
The campaign unfolds.
Yeah, it unfolds, especially when the explosion goes off. That really unfolds things.
Well, thank you very much. The Mr. X with the unauthorized biography of Bin Laden called An Explosive Life.
Yes, by the unauthor.
Into details about my genitalia or azaleas, unveiling the detail of the failure of Australia's government to learn to prevent events that occurred in the past from ever happening again. This government, will they do whatever they please? Agreed to send Australian troops overseas, and the public, will it split over this? Refugees on ships, dirty tricks, Olympics, politics. Johnny put a kiss on Bush's ass on the table in the office at the Pentagon. Our politicians making decisions with the opposition, going off the wall with fucking America and Britain, killing innocent people that was already suffering. So where the hell's your so-called weapons of mass destruction? No justification, just circumnavigation of their own backsides for their future generations.
So you want a war about the only thing that you're good for? So you want a war? So you want a war?
Like Afghanistan and Iraq, it's all full of crap. These bullies should be dealt with, even wiped off of the map. This dangerous alliance contrived it and planned it. The most menacing force of terror on this planet put Hicks and Al-Pip in detention. Not to mention Guantanamo Bay's against the Geneva Convention. What evidence of their crimes did you find? Jamaican confess with some torture in the confines of a cage where defiance is turned into compliance. To validate a campaign of unrestricted violence, pursue and persecute anyone you choose. Make an excuse without due to this taboo to tell the truth. Resume another bombing campaign in the dark, blowing places to pieces with total disregard. Discarding treaties and even threatening use of nuclear weapons against those that choose accuse.
So you want a war about the only thing that you're good for? So you want a war?
We got people whose houses have been raided by ASIO. Way to go, found nothing, oh no, and I know I'm expecting them around anytime soon. Searching room to room, finding nothing but tunes. So they're spewing what they want to chop off my hands, so I can't grab a pen and write this type of stuff again. When anyone has a decent point of view, they're chewed up, subdued into looking like a fool. There's no two sides to the story with these guys. Any controversial truths are made out to be lies. Every time I go to peacefully protest against all this, there's TRG horses and all sorts of shit. It's a training exercise. They play their games, hide their names, inflame situations, taking aim at the very same people that they're paid to protect. Subjected to threats by steroid enhanced pricks with no necks.
So you want a war about the only thing that you're good for?
Leaders are accusing Mr. Howard of using the issue of child sexual abuse to achieve his long-held aim of taking more control over Aboriginal land. The Prime Minister's plan would see the army and police moving into the territory, but it would also see the scrapping of the system of land permits issued by the land councils for entry onto traditional land.
We are totally against tying serious social needs to our hard-fought land ownership and land tenure. We believe that this government is using child sexual abuse as the Trojan horse to resume total control of our lands. No compensation will ever, ever replace our land ownership rights.
With reports this morning that women at Mount Liebig, to the west of Alice Springs, have been leaving the community with their children in fear of them being taken away.
And so the first that people will hear of this, in some cases, will be the arrival at their communities of presumably a police officer in the military vehicles. That will, of course, be of some interest to them, I would imagine. They see that as a direct threat upon their communities. Non-Indigenous people exploiting Aboriginal families and children in particular.
The Prime Minister has foreshadowed recalling Parliament to enact changes to the Territory Self-Government Act and to the Land Rights Act. The opposition leader, Kevin Rudd, offered his immediate support for Mr Howard's plan.
There are more Aboriginal children at the moment taken from their parents than there were at the height of assimilation, which was a government policy. This is a bit of a secret, but this is how bad the situation has got.
White man, as far as I'm concerned, has made so many concessions that I think it's got
too many.
Get off the booze, get off the backside and go and get a job.
Areas and...
For how long?
Well, for a period of years, and we'll just see how the process works out. And
do you guarantee to give it back?
Well, we're not going to take anybody's land without just compensation, and I made that very clear.
So could it be an effect of it? It's not the aim, but could it be an effect of it that the land is removed from the Aborigines and they're compensated?
Well, that's not the aim.
You know, nobody today needs to say sorry for anything. Let's take all these emotive issues out. There was never an invasion of Australia.
It just doesn't go to a choice that they're actually wanting to...
It's as simple as that. It is a choice.
No.
Yes, it
goes a little bit deeper than that, and you're making it really simplistic.
Because it is simplistic that
it's not
to be turned into a difficult equation.
It's not simple. There's no simple answer to it, to their plight, and you are making it simplistic, and it's easy as switching off a light switch. It's not that easy, and I think you're not showing enough compassion for these people. And when you were talking about saying sorry, why is it hard to say sorry?
Why is it for us to
say that one simple word, sorry?
It's been said over...
No, and you keep saying it's 2006, it's 2006.
It is.
Yeah, we're all grown up, and why can't we say sorry?
Jane, I'm not bagging anybody, and I've got nothing to say sorry about.
Yeah, but you are bagging them because you're not letting them... I mean, the two callers that you had a little while ago, and they're obviously Indigenous, you cut them off. You know what? We can't move on from it because you've got people...
You know why we can't move on from it?
I wish we could.
Let me tell you why, because people like you won't let things go. So let me say it to you very clearly. It is move on with life. If social workers are walking around, if you're on the public payroll, I'd like to think that the government might take you off the pay list. And if you don't want to get a job, get off the booze, get off the backside and go and get a job.
The point I want to make is Indigenous people, they get preferential treatment.
People talk about reconciliation. We've got to the stage now where we say enough is enough. You either get into 2006 or stop whinging. And I don't want this to turn into a racist slant.
Oh, no, I don't either. But Captain Cook, there was an invasion. Well, back then, there was no invasion.
There's never been an invasion. Let's take all these emotive issues out. There was never an invasion of Australia. Time have also had a lot of misinformation go out about so-called massacres.
True.
Which have turned out to be not massacres at all. You still get some academics who talk about a massacre, an alleged massacre, down around the border of New South Wales and the ACT. It wasn't a massacre. White man, as far as I'm concerned, has made so many concessions, and I think it's got
too many.
Get off the booze, get off the backside, and go and get a job.
And I don't see why I should apologise.
Yeah. Why can't we just all get along?
That's right.
And be equal?
No.
The biggest problem made is today that we've got the inbreeds are the ones that are causing the problem.
That's right. Yeah.
They're not the old dinky die, hand me down Aboriginal community. They got the handouts, mate.
Yeah. And big handouts.
And wasn't the full blood, mate, but they didn't get a cent.
Yeah, that's right. We've got to the stage now where we say enough is enough. You either get into 2006 or stop whinging.
Native title.
And I just get angry at people who say, oh, but you know, white man bought liquor. The white man doesn't stand there and force you to drink liquor or sniff petrol or sniff glue.
We know that there are claims surrounding Brisbane, Melbourne. There are claims in relation to west areas of Sydney.
Yeah. Why can't we just all get along?
That's right.
And be equal?
Because we are in the debt to the Aboriginals, who are, in fact, our spiritual seniors. And it would be good karma for us to say sorry to them, as we should.
Jewel,
that's all we have to say.
Jewel, how often do we say sorry?
Non-Indigenous Australians could be excluded from beaches and parks.
I don't see why I should apologise to the Aboriginal people.
You know, nobody today needs to say sorry for anything. The lefties need to keep out of it, and, you know, we've got to start going forward for all of us.
For the wicked, get your shit kickers, hair rattle deserve. Food, blood running in vain. I came, I saw, I shall return my remains. Die, no rest, a motherfucker, die. Lest I forget. WW, which one? Black nation, radical son. Still being persistent, resisting arresting. A wicked system at best. Still bringing out things that alienate the ass. Reverse with the wicked, no rest for the wicked.
Well, we should look at uranium enrichment.
Nuclear energy.
Well, we should look at uranium enrichment.
I get test test now, plenty of risk in a dead child. Dead child, cold, damn wicked, all who appear to be godless. Wicked, scolded, as black as the wicked. Black witches, head test dark wicked. Dark heinous criminal, reverse with the wicked. Wicked, no rest for the wicked.
Of people are on welfare. It treats welfare recipients with paternalistic contempt. And I think if the federal government applied its own morality to its colleagues, it would change its mind. And the reason the Commonwealth is able to get away with this is that they're picking on the poor.
So I heard they're going to take away 50% of your welfare.
What?
Are you not a Koori?
Well, it just depends. Nobody told me.
Well, then it's 40%, I heard.
40%. Depends on what shade you are.
The recent report into child sexual abuse found that workers at one mine in the Northern Territory regularly paid in cash and alcohol to have sex with young Aboriginal girls.
Disturbing anecdotes of a rampant sex trade between underage Indigenous girls in one community and workers at a local mining company. It was alleged that girls as young as 12 regularly receive alcohol, cash and other goods in exchange for sex.
There were young people who would visit the men's accommodation late at night. They were locked securely, as they generally were. They would climb over fences, knock on doors very late at night, and make offers. All of this misbehaviour and predatory behaviour is not just by Aboriginal men, it's also by mainstream members of the community, and it's not restricted to Aboriginal communities by any means.
With uranium, with natural gas, and with coal.
The Attorney General, Philip Ruddock, says Perth's native title decision means that public access to beaches and parks can't be guaranteed.
The Commonwealth's view was that there had not been sufficient evidence to establish connection. We know that there are claims surrounding Brisbane, Melbourne. There are claims in relation to west areas of Sydney. Well, if native title is established, then the next question that has to be answered is whether or not land such as those that I've identified, those that have been open space, are possible for claim. And that's the point that was made in relation to Western Australia. That's the next step that would have to be determined.
Aboriginal tribe, and I think from memory they're called Nangor or Noongar.
Western Australia's Noongar people.
Non-Indigenous Australians could be excluded from beaches and parks.
If it hasn't been clearly reserved and dedicated for public purposes, we can't preclude that the native title claim having been established would mean that Indigenous people would say this is available for our exclusive use, and if you want to use it, you'd have to obtain our permission.
There's no credible evidence to say that they've had continuous inhabitants of that area, you know, since white man came to Australia.
Wouldn't all beaches and public parks come under such a category?
No. But, yes. And that's the issue that has to be looked at if Justice Wilcox's decision is upheld.
The Noongar people's success in being determined the traditional owners of Perth has given claimants elsewhere fresh hope.
But critics have accused Mr. Ruddock of scaremongering.
We know that there are claims surrounding Brisbane, Melbourne. There are claims in relation to west areas of Sydney.
It's more empty rhetoric. It's not a really comments that are directed to a specific problem. It's more directed to a fear.
Is it I alone who thinks that this is not the only way that we can live? I wanna give a black baptism and call in the oldest river on this earth the place. Make a journey, come face to face with the truth of being, with the outer material things. My turn to say, listen in. Aboriginal ways is the other way, the only way for me. All the things that I could have, no way. All the professions that I could be, no way. I say, Aboriginal ways is the other way. Aboriginal ways is the only way for me. Take a bath in the river, black baptism. The water is cold, yet you're so alive, the oldest river on Mother Earth. This is not for material wealth. This here is a sacred place, face to face with the truth. My people, my people, my people. Black baptism.
You were listening to Scan.org, and I've presented a collection of war and racism issues of the Australian reality. Check out our website for all the details and web links at nimbinradiomedia.libsyn.com. Nimbin spells as N-I-M-B-I-N, and Libsyn as in Liberated Syndicate. My name is Martin, and I catch you all next week.
We are
very greatly endowed with uranium, with natural gas, and with coal.